Episode 32.
You don't go look for anything. It's all alert-based. So if you have a check engine light or a pre-code, it sends an alert to the shop. Pre-codes, the shop will get the actual light going off. The consumer would get it and the shop. And then we start talking to Mrs. Smith at her time of need. Check engine light, low battery, or a maintenance coming due. Can the data drive more business into your bay? And can it increase the amount of service that's done?
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results On Point, focusing on a single topic with a guest who goes on point with the subject matter.
A warm welcome to Malcolm Sismore of Delphi Product and Service Solutions. Malcolm, are you ready to go on point?
I'm ready to go on point.
Hello, aftermarketers. Carm Capriotto here, and welcome to episode 32, Going On Point with Malcolm Sismore with Delphi Product and Service Solutions. Malcolm is the North American Sales Director, Traditional Markets and Telematics, and the Country Director, Canada. Glad to have you here in uptake mode. I promise an enlightening episode on telematics. Before we jump into the telematics deep end of the pool, I wanted to remind you of your listening choices. Of course, on the RemarkableResults.biz website, but also on Apple iTunes, and it's so easy for Android users using Stitcher Radio. You can link to them on each episode or set up your smartphone to go directly to the episode page. If you've discovered the value of the podcast, hey, please share it with your friends, peers, customers, and anyone associated with this great industry. Malcolm Sismore is a wealth of knowledge on telematics and provides a lot of insight on the subject. Many of our guests have discussed telematics technology as a potential disruptor or opportunity on past episodes. Besides this in-depth episode on telematics, recently Donnie Seifer in episode 30 talks about his involvement with ASA on building an industry forum to be sure there is availability to data for all participants. Malcolm does mention this in our interview. Bottom line, you cannot be out of the knowledge loop on telematics, be it embedded or aftermarket, and how the data can be used as a connection to your customer. Everyone spends to get and retain customers. This is one very key retention opportunity for all the right reasons. Get out your pen and paper. Here's Malcolm Sismore from Delphi Product and Service Solutions to go on point about telematics. Here we go. Well, Malcolm, we're going to jump right into this thing. One of the hottest subjects we think in many of the podcasts that we've had in the past, people are mentioning telematics. And so let's talk about Delphi. As I well know, the originator of OnStar, wow, huge industry changing, right?
Actually, Delphi was one of many companies involved in OnStar, and it's an evolving, and certainly it's nothing that I can speak about. For sure, OnStar has got a great presence in the connected car business out there.
Sure they do. But how long have you been in aftermarket telematics, and how many distributors are involved in this telematics program?
Our channel partners in our parts distribution business out there do have programs with telematics. NAPA Advisor is a program that they have, Uniselect SmartLink, and then recently launched with the Pronto Freddit Rated Group is a program called My Auto Aware. And those are that they work with Delphi for telematics subscriptions and hardware.
What does it mean when you read about the words robust connections to shops?
I think that's a big word, and the expectation would be that there is data that is important to a shop for being able to do remote diagnostics and also be able to remotely monitor the vehicle health and the components health robustly, meaning that the data has to be accurate, consistent all the time, and usable. And in some cases, there's a lot of data, but what's it going to be used for? You're collecting data on top of data, so then you create algorithms of voltages. And what do these mean? How can you predict a weak battery that's going to happen, for example?
So it sounds like an incredible tool, not only for the shop owner as far as the connection to his customer, but as far as the vehicle owner to get data. If they don't have telematics currently, and there are many vehicles that don't, Where's the acceptance here? And is the world ready for some heavy marketing with this? Are the shop owners buying in? Give us an idea of either your happiness and satisfaction that this thing is really moving in the right direction, or some of what the reluctance may be to really move heavily as an aftermarket solution to telematics.
The issue is, can the data drive more business into your bay? And can it increase the amount of service that's done? If we look at the associations produce data, that there's the last number was 2013, there's $67 billion worth of underperformed maintenance on vehicles on the road in North America. And if being connected to that vehicle and being able to know the exact miles that are being driven on that vehicle, and being able to then speak to that consumer or vehicle owner when that vehicle, according to the OEM maintenance schedule or whatever the schedule the shop has decided with that consumer, your oil needs to be changed now, your timing belt needs to be done now, your O2 sensors, whatever is recommended to be done, if that actually would drive more business into your bays, then, and you can put an economic model behind that, then yeah, this will continue to, it'll be a tool like people use right now, advertising. They spend money on postcards going out to people saying, you know, according to our records, we think your oil needs to be changed. And there's a cost to that postcard, a cost to marketing. If that can be included into the telematics marketing dollars, I believe that there is more of a, we'll see more traction on that side of it. The other side is, besides just being able to say that you're going to drive more business to your base, you know, shop owners that are have a focus on commercial business, and those commercial businesses really want to have no downtime. They want to have well-maintained vehicles. Maintaining vehicles is not their core business. Their core business is being an electrician or being a plumber. They don't want to worry about their vehicles not working. So if the sense of owner confidence can be built higher with a shop that says, I can connect to your fleet vehicles and I can keep that connection, I will know 24/7 the health of your vehicles. I'll schedule the preventive maintenance into my shop. In fact, I can take on so much more business because I can pre-plan it. I'm not doing breakdowns. I'm going to do service, and I'm going to keep your vehicles healthy.
Well, thanks for jumping into the fleet question. I really appreciate this, and I love your narrative so far. Good answer. Fleet, to me, has always seemed like it could be the biggest side of aftermarket telematics, and you just mentioned it. So where do you see in the units that have been out there and the participants that you've had so far, is fleet the majority of who are the connected aftermarket vehicles?
I don't know if I can really say majority one or the other, because you have a lot of people that are using telematics for other consumer related items like insurance telematics or driver behavioral aspects of telematics. And then you have fleets, which have those type of needs as well, the driver behavioral stuff. But they also, which has been something that it's a reconfirmation to me, is that the fleet owners seem to be far more interested in having well-maintained vehicles. They really want to have vehicles that don't have downtime. And if you can think about a vehicle for a fleet, and if you can maintain it well for the 4 or 5 years of its life, maybe you can extend it by a year, which could be like a 20% improvement on that fleet's capital expenditures. So the emphasis on maintenance and being connected from vehicle health was far greater than I felt would be out there. That the concern at fleets, limo companies, taxis, it's not about driver behavior. It's all about well-maintained vehicles.
Excellent. You and I have chatted in the past, and it just seems, and we talked about this thing called port wars, and I don't remember where that ever came up, but, you know, everybody wants
you
to...
You came up with it.
Oh, it was me. Maybe not. I can't remember. But and I can't help but think, as I interviewed so many of our podcast guests, and I'd asked them the question, what are you concerned about within the industry? And a bunch of them have mentioned telematics. And, you know, I'd bite my tongue because I just wanted to jump into it. But, you know, the reason you're on is we just want this behind the scenes. Where does Delphi see this thing called port wars? Because you can plug smartphone devices. I mean, that port that was kind of always, oh, don't touch that thing, it's almost sacrilegious, is now insurance companies, everybody wants a piece of it. How do you guys look at that?
It's very true. There's all sorts of Bluetooth adapters, devices that can go onto the port, and it sort of is like a port war. And really, that's up to the consumer. What is it that they want out of that? If they want something that's going to basically just provide them a 4G hotspot that happens to run off of the port just for power, there's a multitude. It's really to figure out what is the use case that consumer wants out there. We're a technology provider focused in this case here. We're focused on the vehicle health and the relationship between the shop and that vehicle, not so much the shop and the driver, it's the vehicle.
So am I crazy in thinking, remember VHS and Beta, and you remember all these different Blu-ray, and everybody had a format. So there's something to plug in there that does something different for a smartphone or over the airwaves and the Wi-Fi hotspots. Is there ever going to be maybe one format that flushes out someday?
I'm going to say no, due to the entrepreneurial nature of our society.
Okay.
I think that there's a lot of people that, the concept of telematics is very easy, connecting to a car remotely. And you have a lot of people that are infotainment focused and really keen on that. And that's great. That's what I think how we continue to evolve. So I don't think there's going to be any one thing. But when I think you move this further out, and when I think the shops talk telematics, where the real rubber will hit the road is when they see more and more OEM-connected vehicles that are with embedded telematics coming off of the assembly line. And then if we then work towards a common telematics gateway, for the lack of a better term, where the OEM data can be pushed into a cloud and then pushed into a shop where allowed, where needed, and then having that data to be useful to a shop. I think that's when you'll look for much more somewhat commonality, but I think there'll be variations of how that works with shop management systems and service information systems and CRM programs. They'll all be part of that telematics or data gateway.
Does telematics have to be flushed out for another few years yet? You've had a product out for what, at least 3 years now?
Yeah.
And I keep thinking that everybody's still asking questions. It doesn't seem like it's gotten the traction yet. Am I thinking right?
Depends on what traction you're looking for. We certainly have a robust connection model available to be used out there. And when the use case scenario where a fleet, between a shop and a fleet, they want this technology. It's going to be part of their business proposition to that fleet. We've seen some very good success in that. We've certainly seen success on the consumer level when they've had a need. This is not broadly marketed in a shotgun type fashion. It's really okay. Where we've seen success is when a shop has said, I have a connected car care strategy. And part of that strategy is to have devices that can be plugged into a vehicle and I can monitor them. Part of that strategy can be just getting for the consumers that are already hooked up with their OEM embedded data, just getting that data sent to them and inputting that information into their CRM program. But really having a connected strategy, because it will evolve as the car park changes.
I need to encourage our listeners to go back and listen to one of our podcasts. I forgot the episode number. I apologize. Greg Buckley. And there's a great piece from Greg Buckley on his epiphany that he had in selling telematics. It's your device through the NAPA program. And he had this kick upside the head with a woman who needed some help. The husband wasn't paying attention to the car, and it became so unreliable, breaking down, and It hit him over the head. So he had, and until then, he wasn't doing as much as he did with it until it happened on a very personal basis. And he says, what can I do to help that person? Duh, oh my God, I've got this device. Mm-hmm. So thank you for that. Now, you mentioned the word embedded telematics. And I can't help but think, is Google Android Auto and Apple CarPlay part of that when you say embedded?
When I say embedded, it's basically a telematics infrastructure, the hardware and software infrastructure that's embedded into a vehicle, like OnStar or BMW Assist or BlueLink, the OEM programs. And we say embedded, meaning they were built with the car was born. There's antennas off of the trunk. There's a processor in the front. There's buttons inside the car. There's interactive with the screen. So it's very much embedded. So that's what I mean by embedded.
Okay. And so Google Android Auto, Apple CarPlay, are they factors in your strategic thinking when it comes to the aftermarket telematics device?
Speaking for myself only, again, from I work in the aftermarket repair side of the business, and Delphi is a huge company with a lot of people in different places. So from my perspective, I look at Google, Android, and all this as technology innovators and disruptors in the automotive world out there, especially when it comes to autonomous vehicles. And to me, it's totally exciting to see what's going to be developed and will continuously change and develop. So I have really no opinion on that other than that's all about connectivity for sure.
Okay.
So telematics is probably becoming way too broad a term to use.
I get it. Thank you. I appreciate clearing that up. So there, with all the old vehicles that don't have anything embedded on it, and with them starting today doing all this aggressive high-tech stuff, will some of the vehicles out there be left in the dust, and could a device like yours ever bring them into the 22nd century?
Again, depending on what they want. If what they're, you know, they don't have any 4G hotspot and they want to go buy a Delphi Connect unit from Verizon that has a 4G hotspot, they would put it in and they would have a 4G hotspot in their car, 1996 or newer. So that would be something there. If that was a need, if someone wanted that, then that would be the type of thing. But it's not like we're going to be able to unlock the doors of a manual vehicle that has manual door locks.
Okay. I get that. Very, very good. Is telematics information, is there going to be a fight at the OE level for who owns it and who gets that?
You know, again, this is going to be Malcolm's opinion of that. And I read a lot and I've been part of all the discussions that have been going on out there. And I cannot say from a broad swipe there that the OEs are at all saying that it's ours, you can't have it. It's more like we got a lot of data. How do we need to care for the data? How can we use the data? How can we make our customers' experience better? I don't find there to be more like it's the unknown. What are we going to do with all that data? And we have great professional relationships with the OEs and the aftermarket through all sorts of different initiatives that have gone on within industry. I expect this to be a very proactive approach to making sure that consumers are happy and safe.
When I think of Flo holding that little device in her hand, trying to convince the consumer through the ads on TV to plug this device in, and I guess the term is called UBI, usage-based insurance data, and is that ever someday going to work where I want to have my UBI plugged in because I want to have my insurance based on my driving behavior? Will we ever be able to have the shop say, oh, you have one of those things? I could take your vehicle data and help you manage, like you say, reliability. Do you see that happening someday?
Oh, I hope so. I really do. I think that there has to be synergies between the insurance company and the repair industry in a big way. It's just data, so to speak. And the shop can use data. Insurance companies can use data. There's lots of other things. You know, I think the consumer has a whole bunch of data that they could almost monetize to some extent, because everybody wants the data. Where do you drive? Where do you get your gas? All that kind of stuff. There's a lot of stuff that could be hooked up. I believe that there is, again, for the shop, it doesn't want to collect data for the sake of data, and they certainly are not going to recommend more oil changes because they're getting the data. It's just going to be a lot more accurate, a lot more predictable and plannable maintenance for people versus bing, my light came on.
With your program being out for a few years now, and the device is proven, the software is there, the connectivity is right, what's the reluctance for either the consumer to buy in from the independent professional service installer or the pro service dealer reluctant to really want to jump on board? There's something there that hasn't, like Greg Buckley said, I finally got my aha moment. I figured out how to sell this thing. Is it about knowing how to sell it, believing in the unit? I guess I'm saying why aren't there a million aftermarket units out there?
And I think, Karim, you experienced this a year or so ago, that the technician in the shop understands how this is a great technology and how it works. And the issue is that it's not for free. There's a cost involved, and how is that cost going to be covered? And it either has to be covered by generating so much business and extra gross margin that you can pay for it, or there is the vehicle owner or the consumer that says, I have a need here and I'm willing to pay some or all of the cost of this. And that is really where the biggest difference is, that a shop is primarily taking care of a customer. They're not trying to ever sell them something that they don't need. So the aha moment, I'm going to say, is they discovered there was a need for a customer, therefore they felt comfortable saying, I have something to fulfill that need. So in my mind, the shop, part of their strategy is, says who needs telematics. Let's just say it's people that have teenage kids. Well, do you in your CRM program have all your customers listed and know who has teenage kids? People that have elderly parents that they want to maybe monitor their vehicles. Do you have that listed in your, and so that you narrow down your customer base of, of 1,000 customers down to 40 customers have teenage kids. And you then approach those because you believe you have something that might be a need for them. Same thing with the fleet. You look at your, if there's some of the fleet out there and he's got two vehicles and doesn't really care too much about maintenance, he's probably not your target. Someone's got seven vehicles out there and they are always remote, always difficulty booking appointments. You can say, hey, look, I can plan this better now, and now I have a need. So it does not jump off the counter. We're already trying hard to sell cabin air filters, let alone a device you're going to plug in your car.
So have you done any surveys to find out if it's the reluctance of the consumer to buy or the reluctance of the service provider to sell?
We've done surveys of the shops and asking what's working, what's not working. And it primarily is the fact that there needs to be a dedication of time to do this. And I think when you talk to most shop owners, that one of the biggest things they're missing in their day-to-day activities is time. And so, frankly, we've been encouraged by the results of the surveys, but it's a case of people got to make the time.
But the magic bullet in my mind is the connectivity, is the ownership of that person. My device, it's Karim Service, and I have my device plugged into 25 of my best customers. Where are they going? I understand they may be lured for an oil change, some cheap place with a postcard that comes in, but where are they going? Because I'm the one that's connecting with them, talking to them about their vehicle, be it texting or through emails or through the fact that we share a portal. And I guess, do I as a shop owner need to find time to install one of the most incredible devices that connects that customer to me? And think about the millennials are the biggest buying group we have out there now. They're tech savvy. You would think that they would want this. They're buying apps every day, billions of dollars worth. It's like fashion. Maybe the time has just not yet come for this, and there will be a huge wave. I'm sure you hope that. It'd be a huge wave in the future. Where is the technology heading that you see? I mean, are you putting out any newer devices, any newer software that may have a greater appeal to both the seller and or the buyer?
Yeah, there's an evolution of hardware that goes to where the need is. For an example, you talk about those tech savvy top customers. Right now, our devices in this instance here are cellular connected. So there's always a connection between the device and the shop and the device and the consumer computer or cell phone. There's other future, it's available today, as we bring it out, that there is no cellular connections. There's no full-time connection to the shop. But through a less expensive device, through a Bluetooth device on the vehicle, pulling the same data can be pushed into a smartphone of the consumer's owner, and then they push it, they push it to the shop. Okay, the issue there is there's no permanent connection to the shop. They may or may not push it to the shop. Is it going to be done on a regular basis so that the shop is then recording the real-time miles? You know, part of this is our whole philosophy behind this is alert-based. So we don't, you don't go look for anything. It's all alert-based. So if you have a check engine light or a pre-code, it sends an alert to the shop. Pre-codes, the shop will get the actual light going off. The consumer would get it in the shop. Maintenance coming due is an alert. So the idea here isn't something that you're spending time on an app looking at it. It's basically you wait for an alert. And then we start talking to Mrs. Smith at her time of need. Check engine light, low battery, or a maintenance coming due.
Malcolm, thank you so much for all that you've given us today. I'm really happy to hear your perspective on telematics. I may just ask you one day in the future to come back and give us an update on what we did here today and say, hey, here's where we're headed. Here's where the adoption rate is. Aftermarket telematics is on fire, Carmen. I want to go out and tell the world about it. Would you come back?
I would be very happy to do that, Carm.
Thanks, Emil. Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from another inspiring aftermarket professional. Until next time.